It's been a while since I've recorded something to my podcast feed. I wonder if there's anybody there. It's been a while, I guess, because I've been recording stuff in other places. And this unupdated app, because I know that if I update it, I'll lose direct messages. It just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I'm thinking that as it crashed the other day when I was recording something, the other week... It might happen again. So should I ever even use it again? Because it's gone so far away from what I want from an audio creation app. I also know this is very broadcast based. There used to be a community. Well, there still is a community. Who am I kidding? There's still a community of people that use this, but they must struggle to converse with one another, you know, opening the comments or atting each other and then messing with their RSS feed because they've got to put a reply in what is effectively or potentially a podcast feed when there are other apps like Anchor and such like out there enabling them to converse freely and easily with many people out there on the web. So horses for courses, I guess. It is nice to be able to broadcast and make it difficult for people to get back to you because there is the time suck factor. Especially when some people just want to respond with, yeah, I totally agree, yeah, and which is great. You can do that with just a heart. You don't have to respond in words. I think that we have these micro notifications for that very reason. I'm not sounding ungrateful, I hope. I probably am. But in reality, when you've got like 50 people saying that, not that that's ever happened. Okay, let's say 5 people saying a few words just for the sake of saying a few words when a heart or a like would do, then it gets time consuming. Currently, if there is a map attached to this audio recording, sat in Glasgow. First time ever I'm sat in a hotel in Glasgow, I think. I've been to Edinburgh a few times, but not Glasgow. I've been to other areas. Did my Land's End to John O'Groats. Did I come through Glasgow? No, I was on the other side, wasn't I? So, my view of the River Tame is pretty okay. It's very brown because there's been a lot of rain. No doubt there's a lot of silt and such like in there. I'm looking at like a boarded up roundhouse and an arched bridge. I think the unboarded up roundhouse is just behind me. I was going to go and explore because it's eating time, my stomach is telling me. And a quick search of the local surroundings has shown me an epic looking chip shop and called Old Salty's within half a mile. He says mouth watering. I don't want to be eating chips tonight. And there's also a seafood place called Crab Shack, which was recommended to me online, but it just so happens to be the second most highest rated place within, or it might even be the most highest rated place within half a mile or so, which is about 10-15 minutes, I guess, walking these roads. I don't know, shouldn't take that long. And tomorrow I'm doing some training here. Flew in on EasyJet, which was late, but it's still like a fraction of the time it would have took me, 6 hours or something on the train, maybe more. Which is a real shame because I much prefer to take the train. Also, the train would have cost hundreds and EasyJet cost, I don't know, I think my taxi from the airport cost more than my flight. So, yeah, how do you say that to a client? I have to take the train everywhere for environmental reasons. And they say, well, you have to fly for financial reasons because you're coming to show us how the newspaper industry, stroke, let's call it the news industry, can do video and therefore earn loads more money. And the last thing they want to be doing is throwing it away on my environmental stance. I much prefer trains anyway. Even if there wasn't an environmental impact difference there, I would much rather take a train. It would have meant that I definitely would have got my work done. My laptop's open right now and I'm tweeting inanities instead of doing my slides, which I have done a few of, and I've got pretty much enough to get me through the day. But I always have that night before. Is it enough? Am I covering everything? How can I add some more value? Need to add some more value. And then before you know it, an extra 30 slides have popped up there and you're speaking really fast towards the end to get to your key takeaways. And then you're wishing that there was a smart button that just, I mean, there might be a shortcut button that minimizes the next slide so that when you're going through your presentation, you can press a magic button that just skips a few. Like, I don't want the next one. Don't want the next one. Ah, yes, this will be of interest to you. Rather than actually me sometimes have to exit the slide deck and then minimize a few while they're on a breakout session and then open it back up thinking, oh, I've probably saved 15 minutes. I've only got 125 slides left to go. It does happen. It does happen. Timekeeping when it comes to... The problem is just one little thing you forget. You're doing a presentation and, you know, some of my presentations are... Sorry, workshops. Some of my presentations are small, but workshops tend to be 5-6 hours. And all you have to do is have a talkative crowd and your timing's out. Because I don't want to not answer people's questions because I'm delivering guaranteed value if I can answer a question or find an answer before the end of the session. So, yes, it's a bit of a catch-22. Sometimes it might be, you know, well, it's the breaks that I have to dip in because I've started off, good morning, everybody. Who are you? Where are you from? Why are you here? And then someone will go on for like 10 minutes and I'll go, it's going to be one of those days. Right. Break time. Delete, delete, delete. Oh, collapse, collapse, collapse. So Glasgow is awaiting for my attentions and my stomach is awaiting me to shovel something delicious into it. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, I'm sure you couldn't care less that I have neglected my podcast feed, but I really do appreciate the fact that you are listening to this right now. And I know you are listening to this right now. Otherwise, you wouldn't hear what I'm saying and be impressed that I know you're listening. Quite a philosophical moment as I comprehend the implications of that sentence. And get my shoes on and head out. Incidentally, one thing that surprised me today, two things that have stuck out in my mind. One dark thing, which was when I came into the airport, there was a very young boy, just old enough to walk, it seemed, being told to stand, legs spread, arms out above him, whilst a security guard on his knees frisked the boy. And I mean serious frisking. Every single centimetre of this boy's body seemed to be probed as if one of these guys' hands could fit round this kid's leg as he went up and down the legs and around the back and then up and down the arms and round the back of his neck and through his hair. And I'm thinking, it's probably a nappy you can feel. And it just looked really... I couldn't take my eyes off the kid and I wondered where the mother was. And then I saw that right at the end of the conveyor, she was there having a bag go through. And she looked like a normal, average, middle-class white woman with a child. And I'm wondering, if these guys are having it this bad, what happens with all the racially profiling, stuff that happens, and if someone actually came through looking like they were from a foreign country, did they, you know, is it going to be a baby in a cot? Well, I'm sure they do actually have to lift the baby out, but the whole sending the kid back through the scanner and then back, and then he had to go through the scanner and back, it's, you know, either they had some serious information, which I'll never know, or this woman was on some kind of watch list, I don't know. But they just let them go afterwards. And I just thought, wow, I don't know how I'd feel if that was me and my child. So that wasn't very nice for them, I imagine. And quite a few people standing there waiting to go through security with shoes in hand, obviously feeling the fear, more so when they're watching scenes like this unfold. On April the 4th, as mentioned, April the 4th at the beginning of the book, 1984, and, yeah, the other thing, slightly lighter, and that was that in reception here, when I arrived, I'm used to being in receptions and, you know, there's sometimes something to eat on the reception table, whether it be a bowl of fruit, bananas, oranges, apples, but never in my life has there been a Tinnex milk chocolate mallow. Bowl of, and these are red and silver foil wrapped chocolatey treats en masse. So as the receptionist had her back turned, I filled my pockets and I've had one. And I'm thinking, okay, I shouldn't really have any more, otherwise that's going to be dinner and I can't really be having a dinner of chocolatey mallow things. If only it had been a bowl of fruit, I could have had a dinner of fruit quite happily. So just to get some goodness into my body, I'm heading out now. And I, again, hope that wherever you are happy and healthy and within easy reach of sustenance. And he's back. I can't help but think that I said that this was the Tame outside. It's the Clyde, isn't it? I should really get to know my rivers. And one more thing, just one more thing that I would like to add. And that is, the security was so full on at the airport. As I was buying a beer, which was part of my lunch, not all of my lunch, in the Wetherspoons in Stansted, I spoke to a girl there and she says, it's pretty hardcore at the moment. We don't remember security ever being this serious. She goes, I can't even get, you know, I find it very hard, she says, to get a lighter into work. And then I said that Stansted's unique in some ways, isn't it? Because it's where if a plane gets hijacked, it will be diverted to Stansted because they have all kinds of specially trained individuals to deal with things like that. And the place is set up to receive hijacked planes. And she said, yes, I went on the training where we all have to go outside, put up signs saying, welcome to Heathrow. And I was like, should you be telling me this? And in fact, should I be telling you this? The fact that they have camouflage that turns Stansted Airport into Heathrow. I'm sure no hijacker is that stupid nowadays, surely. To be able to open up their phone and check their apps and see that they were in it somewhere else. But you never know. Need to appease these crazy people whichever way we can, and then hopefully get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem, so that we don't all live in this encroaching prison, this panopticon that is keeping us in a very subdued and fearful way. Right, I wanted to end on a high note. Dinner. I'm going this time for sure. Goodbye.